This is the Stinking Truth.
All right, so now we're on the subject of young quarterbacks. If you're a Giants fan right now, you're starting to wonder a little unease about your franchise savior, Jackson Dart, when you find out that he wasn't aware of New York tolls in Easy Pass and just blew through and racked up fines. I mean, kind of speaks to his acumen and decision making. Yeah. No,
I think it's cute.
Cute,
right? Yeah. I mean,
charming.
It's charming. He's from Oxford, Mississippi. I'm sure they don't have tolls down there at Ole Miss, right? You're just blowing through things. These tolls. What does that matter? It's kind of like Bobby Boucher. You know, my mama said. You know, he didn't know about tolls. I'm sure the Giants will reach out to the whatever they are, the New Jersey, whatever it is, and say, hey, listen, our guy is from Mississippi, right? And they don't have tolls in Mississippi.
How long did it take Eli to figure that all out? You think, right? Like, probably took him a while, right?
Yeah, give him a minute.
Simple country boy.
Right, exactly. So I tell you what, though, like Jackson Dart was a guy that went out there and performed. And like, if you're the Giants, and there was a lot of people that were on me about, well, listen, you know what you have in Jameis Winston. You know what you have in Russell Wilson. Like, if you know you're not going to be very good offensively, and let's face it, in that division, you've got Philadelphia, you've got Washington, like, you've got the Cowboys. What are the odds you're going to compete for that division, especially with the schedule? I mean, it's a murderer's row. They've got, like, one of the toughest schedules in football. Why not just go with the growing pains and start Jackson Dart from day one? So we'll see how he is in the second game, because he kind of lit it up in the first game. And, you know, and so we'll see exactly what that looks like in the second game. But I don't know. You got to be pretty excited if you're a Giants fan about what Jackson Dart produced. And ultimately, I don't care about toll booths. As long as he can read, you know, the difference between cover one and cover three. Like, you know, as long as he can read coverage and get the ball to the right guy. Like I said, I find it charming. Good old Jackson Dart. Like, you didn't know. I don't know about all your, your strange ways frighten me. Like, he's like unfrozen caveman lawyer. Like, I don't know about these toll booth things. I find it kind of refreshing, if you will.
All right. So while we're on the subject of cute, Pete Carroll at it again. You know, he's always that youthful enthusiasm of Pete, and, you know, he just does it a different way. So the Raiders video came out of them, you know, dealing with the grind of camp. So they had coaches in laundry carts with, like, blocking dummies and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were jousting. They were, like, you know, pushing the carts towards each other, you know, like stampeding horses, and they're Sir Lancelot's got his jousting stick out there, and that was their idea of fun. Oh, man. Pete Carroll, man.
Yeah.
Always a kid at heart, huh?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he does have great energy. Now, that's a little fugazi. That one, you know, we're gonna have a little jousting championship. And especially after, like, you really, now I think the game ended in a tie between them and Seattle, but you got worn out on the line of scrimmage. Like, one, you couldn't run the ball, and two, you couldn't defend the run. And that would, if I'm Pete Carroll, that would concern me, because that's what you've built your franchise on, right? Running the ball, setting up your play action stuff, taking pressure off your quarterback, and being able to defend the run so that you can play coverage behind it. So that would concern me to a degree, but there's nothing that, a friendly joust won't fix, right? So it does come down to, hey, it's fun in games if we're playing well and we're winning. If we're not, it's just stupid. It's kind of what's going on in Miami right now.
Right?
I mean, remember last year, and I made fun of this last year incessantly, when Mike McDaniels came out and said, we haven't won a playoff game in 24 years, so we're starting all the meetings at 24 after the hour. Like, as a veteran player, if I was in that locker room, I would roll my eyes. Like, we're kidding, right? You're joking me about this. So, like, you think that is going to give us the reminder that, hey, come playoff time. I like, those gimmicky things are exactly that. They're gimmicky. And listen, if you start playing really well and you do all those things, great. That's awesome. But do you really think showing up at 24 after the hour has any bearing on whether you win on Sunday or not? No, it's your ability to control the line of scrimmage. It's your ability to execute in the passing game. It's your ability to execute on defense. Like, that's what sets the tempo. When I was in Washington, the year we won the Super Bowl in 1991, Joe Gibbs had this brilliant idea of Saturday being home with your family and coming in Saturday evening to do a walkthrough and then going to the hotel on home games. So it worked out great when we started showing up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, right? We'd go through our walkthrough, we'd do all our corrections, right? And then we would drive over to the hotel for meetings. And that was great. Until about the end of October, when daylight savings came around and we're standing out on the football field, it's pitch black and we didn't have lights. So they had to bring in these little stanchion lights and the generators, these gas generators, there's about three lights out there. You can't see 4 feet in front of your face, right? But we never changed it because that was the reason. That wasn't the reason. Right. The reason we were winning is because we were lining up and whipping your ass on the line of scrimmage. We were lining up and running the ball. We were lining up and throwing it with our three wide receivers over the heads of the defense. It had nothing to do with showing up at 6 o'clock at night, yeah. Right? But we stayed on that path. And I'm telling you, there was one trip we made to the West Coast to play the Rams that year. And we ended up doing all that walkthrough stuff, right? And then getting on the plane, having our meeting, getting on the plane. And we flew cross country. Well, we had 150, 200 mile an hour headwinds. So to get from Washington, D.C. to L.A. took us almost 7 hours. We land there, right? We get to the hotel and Joe still wants to meet. And it's literally 1 o'clock in the morning. And we got a 1 o'clock game the next day. And we're meeting. Everybody's like falling asleep. You're grabbing a sandwich on your way to your room. We do the whole thing. We go and we whip the Rams' ass anyhow. But the bottom line is like you're like, you can't be serious about the gimmicks. The gimmicks aren't what wins you with the Raiders or with Miami or even me back in the day. It was that we lined up and whipped your ass. That's what was winning. It had nothing to do with the meeting time on Saturday. Oh, it's ridiculous stuff.
All right. The kind of transition, because this last story is a serious story. But I'll let you do with it what you will. The Nevada State Supreme Court has ruled in favor of John Gruden in his appeal against the NFL. That means that Gruden will get discovery and his day in court alleging that Commissioner Roger Goodell and the NFL improperly leaked his emails leading to his firing as Raiders head coach. I think I speak for most everyone out there that as long as it can be done in a fair way and he gets his day in court, and if he is found, I guess, innocent in a way that allows him back into the NFL. I think the NFL is better off if it has John Gruden in it. My question is that ever going to be allowed to happen when you're basically going after every NFL owner?
I'm with you 100% that John Gruden in the NFL is good for the NFL. And I do think that John Gruden will be, like, I do think he'll be reinstated to be an NFL coach. And then I think he'll get an opportunity.
You do?
Yeah, I think he's that good. And I think not only is he a really good coach, but he's good for the National Football League. And I think this whole thing is interesting. You know, I mean, it came down at a time where everything was so about political correctness and the way we discuss things. And I haven't read all the transcripts. But I will say this. There was a way we used to talk when I came into the National Football League that is completely unacceptable, but it was the way it was. Like a lot of things. There's a lot of things with movies and with comedy and with everything else that we have gone through this transition, this kind of quote, whatever you want to call it, the woke transition that has made all these things unacceptable. And ultimately, that's the way guys talked. John grew up in a time in the National Football League where it was talked about that way. You go back to Bountygate. Bountygate to me was total bullshit. But it was one of those situations where the league wanted to put its foot down, and this was the best way to do it. And you start getting, like, you start getting, you know, you start getting transcripts of the way guys talk back in the day. Great. I remember their defensive coordinator, like, he would talk about, you know, attacking the head of the snake and, like, stuff like we used to talk about scrambling dudes' brains and you know, going hunting cartilage and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was not – there was no malicious intent. You weren't trying to injure guys. I would never intentionally try to injure anybody. Lord knows I've been through enough myself that I would never do that. But it was the way you talked. It was the language that was used. And ultimately for John Gruden, I hope he gets an opportunity because he's a really good coach and he's a great dude. And I think his players play hard for him. So I just think you were caught up in a situation where you spoke the way you spoke and you had a lot of emails that were probably in today's world considered inappropriate. And I hope, you know, I hope we recognize that there was no malicious intent. And I'm sure John has cleaned up the way he would email and the way he would talk to his players in that regard. But I hope he does. I sincerely hope he gets an opportunity because I think the league is a better place with John Gruden in it.
Well, looks like he's going to get his day in court. So
yeah. So I love it. I hope he does, and I hope he's back, and we'll try to get him on the podcast.
All right. I'll reach out.
Yeah, we're supposed to. John and I have been texting back and forth about talking football. He loves football.
He does love football.
He does love to talk about football.
Yes.
And he'll tell me I'm a dinosaur.
Yeah.
The way I do things. I think he likes it. I think he likes it.